It's a joy being here with you again. I think it's been a few years since we've been here visiting with you. And I'm not sure it was in the morning or evening or all day, but we just are so thankful that the Lord has brought us back here again. And He's done some wonderful things for us. We've been serving the Lord in Russia for 10 years in country, coming back from year to year for a little furlough because we've been required to by the laws of Russia. We had to get a new visa every year. And this to last December 23rd, when we went back again to go back into the country, we landed in St. Petersburg there. And my wife and my son went through customs without any problems. Their paperwork was accepted. When I went through, they said, let's see your visa here. Just wait just for a few minutes. And a few minutes took longer and it took longer. And finally, they came and they said to me, you're not allowed to come back in Russia. Your visa is no good. And of course, the first question I would ask, that I asked, and you would ask as well, I'm sure, if that happened to you, it's because the same feeling that you get when you are driving, those of you who drive, and a police car with his lights on pulls you over. You say, uh-oh, what have I done? You know, I wasn't speeding, I wasn't doing this, I wasn't doing that. And just all of these thoughts go through your mind. You know exactly how I felt. You know exactly how you felt, because you've been there too, only on this side of the big pond. So they said, well, we can't tell you. How would you like that? If a policeman came up to your window and said, ma'am, may I see your driver's license? Sir, may I see your driver's license? He said, well, what was I doing? And he says, I can't tell you. That's sort of frustrating, isn't it? Well, why did you pull me over if you can't tell me? Well, the next thing I said, could I have your name? He says, I can't give you my name. That would be, oh, my goodness, what is going on? The uncertainty and the fear that was there. Well, the Lord had His reasons and His purposes. And my wife and my son were on the other side, and it's one of the times when I was very thankful. Let's be thankful for a cough. Be very, very thankful for sickness, because sometimes God can use that to be a real encouragement to other people. My son had a bad cough, and he hadn't gotten over it yet. But see, he was on the other side of those doors that was separating from me and my wife and my son. And I had no idea where they were or what happened to them. Only occasionally I would hear, I said, Lord, keep them coughing, please. I said, I'm out of control in this situation, and I don't know what's happened to them, but keep them coughing. At least I know they're within my sound, and I've got bad ears. So the Lord did that. And anyway, He brought us back, and I'll tell you more about that. So much to share. But God has been doing some wonderful things for us since He's brought us back. And the timing has been just absolutely unbelievable. And we were invited to come to work with the believers in Parkway. And one of the brethren there said to us, and he wrote us a personal note, and he said, please, by all means, he said, if you can come. He said, there's an apartment right next to me. I'd love to have you come and stay at the apartment. The Lord opened up the door for us to do that. And he said, I hear you that you and your wife go for a walk every morning. He said, I want to join you. And some of you know who that fellow is. His name is Mr. Clarence Lowe. And he said, please give my regards to the folks at Northgate. He says, I know many of them very, very well. And so I give you greetings from him. And just praise the Lord, he's doing well. And yes, he walks every morning when he gets a chance to. We walk for about 30 minutes and have good times of fellowship. And he tells us all sorts of neat stories, which is interesting. But tonight we want to focus on what the Lord has been doing in Russia since we've there, since the last time that I was shared with you. We have some slides. And also what the Lord is doing in reference to us in the Left Behind series. It's what we've left behind in Russia, and what God is doing now. He's still doing some exciting things that He's let us know. He still wants us to work, but from this side in that great land. So we ask that you will just pray for us, that the Lord will continue giving us direction. Jason and Angela, our son and daughter-in-law, who, when we were here before, they were not married, but since then they met at a missionary conference, at CMML Missionary Conference in Green Hills. And as a result of that meeting, they later on got married, and they followed Dad and Mom's footsteps and came to Russia as missionaries and served the Lord there for a couple of years. But now they're sort of stuck back here. And they came home on furlough. They have not been rejected or turned away. Just their visas ran out, And now they're having some difficulties getting back in. So pray for that they would be able to do that. That's what God wants. As I said, we'll share more of that with you tonight, and then perhaps give you some opportunities to ask questions. But for this morning, if we could just turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. We'd like to look at verses of Scripture there and then some other verses later on. We have a big subject to cover this morning, and I'm just going to give you, hopefully, the bones, the outline, the subject with some Scripture verses, because it's just too much for us to take in one morning. And I hope it will encourage you to get to know the author of this book, God Himself and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, it's living. We were singing about that, wasn't it? It's not by accident. I didn't ask a brother to pick out that song, Because He Lives. It just ties right in with this, doesn't it? For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Shall we just look to the Lord again once more? Our Father, we thank You so much for Your Word and the power of it and the preeminence You've given it to us, that You have given to it in Your own scope and plan of things. And thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word in flesh and came to live on this earth so that people could know Him personally and went back to heaven after He died on the cross and came to do His Father's will and paying for our sins and suffering there in such a terrible way on the cross. And now He's back in heaven and He has sent His Spirit again, Father, with the Word, with Your Word to encourage our hearts and to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. We pray that that will take place even this morning, that Your Word will do those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may everything that is said today bring You much honor and glory. Anything that's not, that's done outside of the Spirit of God may be forgotten or not even said. We just commit this time into Your hands. It's very precious, Father. And we pray that this time would bring much fruit for eternity, some 30, some 60, some even 100-fold, because of the Word of God sinking deep into the hearts of each one here, including myself. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank You. Amen. The Word of God. A very powerful book. That's the subject this morning I want to share. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's a very special book. I've broken down our little talk this morning into 5 different sections, and I hope that as a result of this morning's message that you'll be able to remember each of these sections, because it's going to be an acrostic of the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E. And I'll do each one there. Hopefully it will help us remember what God's Word is. First of all, the Bible is the book of all books. The word Bible, by the way, simply means book. The book. Some time ago in advertising here in the United States, Yellow Pages came out with advertising as, this is the book. This is the book you want to get to find anything that you want to help you with any kind of situation, purchase anything that you want, get your car repaired or anything. This is the book, the Yellow Pages. Well, there's a book that's even more important than that, and that is the Word of God. It is the book of books. It's more important than any other book in the world. There are many reasons why it's more important than any other book in the world, but I would just like to talk about 4 of them. 4 reasons why it's more important than any other book in the world. It's the only book that is perfect. It is perfect. Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. You can tell that I need to come here more often, so I can have exercise and doing sword drills. Probably some of you have gotten it already. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says this: every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And again, I would like to take this word pure and break it down into four different sections. Again, acrostic, not of Bible this time, but of pure. The Word of God is, first of all, perfect, it's pure, and that is powerful. It's God's voice that speaks without any error. There's no other book in the world that's without error. And so it's a very powerful book. The Scriptures tells us that God's Word does three things. Does many things. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And then we read that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This book that you hold in your hands, the words within this book, is so powerful that it has created the world in which we live in. That's how powerful this book is. It's not just an ordinary book. It's a very special book. It's God's Word. It's powerful. Not only did it create the world, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 3, and also you can look up in verse Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. That's what He did in the past. But God's Word also holds the world together. God's Word holds the world together. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Talking about the Lord Jesus in verse 2. Hath His God, verse 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, the verse I referred to a little while ago, who being in the brightness of His glory and express image of His Son, and upholding all things by the word of His power, that when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Second thing that God's Word does is it upholds the world. It keeps the world together. Why do you think we haven't had a tremendous explosion already of nuclear arms? Why do you think Russia and North Korea and China and Iraq and some of these other countries that have had nuclear capabilities, or we think may have nuclear capabilities, hasn't blown the world up yet? Why hasn't some madman come over and destroyed the United States, which so easily could have happened? The reason why is because God's Word is holding this world together. He's putting a restraining force upon that. God's Word is powerful. Not only has He created the world, but He also holds the world together. And then one day we read in the future, 2 Peter, if we just go over to the next book there, Hebrews, James, and the next two books, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we read these words, 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Word of God will also destroy the world at some time. It will be the Word of God that will destroy the world. God's Word, the book that we hold in our hands, the book that we're looking at this morning, the book that you're studying so much a part of your assembly here, which is tremendous, that Word will one day destroy the world. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. The Word of God is not only powerful, but the next letter in pure is you, unique. The Word of God is unique. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This book here is a unique book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is profitable for living. This is the only book that we can take, and we can use it in every aspect of our lives. Every single part, no matter what kind of a job you have, no matter what kind of marital situation you're in, whether you're single or married or divorced, whatever, God has a word for you in this book. And He wants you to go by it. And it's profitable for you. Very simple way that I came across this way to understand this some time ago was this, is that God's word is profitable in telling us how to live. That's doctrine. The second one, and for reproof, tells us how to walk the right way, how to please God. But then when we get off, it says, now you need to be corrected in this area of your life. And the third thing, not only does it tell us where we went wrong, but it tells us to how to get back on the road, correction. And then the last part, for instruction in righteousness, the Word of God tells us how to stay on the right road, how to keep going for Him. It's a wonderful book. It's a powerful book, the Word of God. So the Word of God is the book of books. It's not only powerful and is unique, profitable for living, but it's also very penetrating. The verse that we read, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, tells us that not only does the Word of God help us in our outside daily life, but also is very convicting on the inside of us as well. God's Word speaks to us. And what does it do? Sharper than a two-edged sword. It convicts us. It's the reason why it says sharper than a two-edged sword is because the sword can only go into our bodies. It can only pierce our skin and strike our vital organs and, yes, could even kill us. But it cannot affect our soul. A sword cannot affect our soul. But God's Word does that. And it comes into our hearts, and it convinces us where we need to make some changes in our lives. That's the reason why it's so powerful. It's able to do that. It divides the soul and the spirit. Let's talk about that a minute. What does it mean to divide the soul and the spirit? When we read God's Word and He speaks to us, in our soul, we say, Lord, I know what You're saying to me, but I don't feel like doing that. It's just too convicting for me. Divides the soul and the spirit. See, the soul is the part of us that does the feeling. The spirit part of us is the part that God speaks to us through. And it will separate the spirit and the soul to where now we have to make a choice. What are we going to do? You may be here this morning. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God's Spirit is speaking to you. Perhaps He even begins speaking to you already. But the need in your life that you need to become a Christian. You need to join God's family. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. And you might be saying, yeah, in fact, I know. I know this for a fact. I know the Spirit of God is here, and I know He is speaking. He's speaking through His Word. He may be speaking through something that's going through your mind right now. And you might say, I'm not going to listen. There's just an indication right there of the division between the soul and the spirit. The Spirit of God is saying, I have something very important to say to you, and you say, I'm not going to listen. Or you might be saying, yes, I want to listen. I want to know what You have to say to me, Lord. I'm willing for You to say anything, and I'll listen, and I'll obey that. So, the sword of the Spirit divides the soul and spirit in our own personal lives. And then also penetrates us. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That goes even deeper than the soul and the spirit, because it goes into our thoughts. And even deeper than our thoughts, it goes to our intents. Now, our thoughts are things that we think in our mind. A lot of times we don't say anything to anybody. We're just thinking about them. Maybe we are interested in purchasing some property. Are interested in going on a vacation. We've got interest in ourselves. These thoughts come into our mind. But thoughts and intents of the heart is this. These are just thoughts that come into our minds is what we think. The thoughts come from either us. Sometimes Satan puts thoughts in our minds. Sometimes the Holy Spirit puts thoughts into our minds. And these are all of these thoughts. And then it talks about there's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The intents is what you really want to do. The desires that you have, that you want to see accomplished in your life. The things that will make you the very happiest. Those are the intents of your heart. What your goal is in life. Those are the intents of your heart. The God and the Word of God comes in and He knows, the Spirit of God knows what your intents are, what your thoughts are, where your soul and your spirit are. God's Word is very, very powerful. Not only is it unique in these two areas, but it's also redemptive. The Word of God is redemptive. It's redemptive in the fact that it's personal. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Let's turn there. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The first thing that God's redeeming love tells us is that we are sinners. That we are sinners. We're separated from God. And it says that all of us have sinned. There's no exception at all. All of us are sinners. And that's the first part of redemption, to let us know that we're lost. Folks, you can't be saved unless you're lost. You can't be found unless you're lost. And I'm one to tell you from personal experience, I get lost a lot. That's the reason why I carry a lot of tracts with me when I go. So that every time I ask somebody for help, I can give them a gospel tract. I think that maybe that's one of the reasons why I get lost. And people have to tell me how to get here or there or whatever. But Brother Mark Hartley gave me good directions the other day and told me how to get here so I didn't get lost coming here. And I sure hope that as a result of here, that today, that you will see God's Word as a roadmap to help you. If you're lost today, you don't know where you're going. Say, well, I know where I'm going. I'm going home and I have lunch. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about different kinds of loss. How do you answer this question? If you were to die today, do you know where you would go? If you don't know the answer to that question, if you're not sure that you're going to be with God in heaven, if you're not sure that you go to heaven, you are lost because you don't know where you're going. But God's Word tells us how we can know for sure that we're going to heaven. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, that believing you might have life through His name. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. If you don't believe in Him, you're going to perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. So, the Word of God is powerful, it's unique, it's redemptive, and the fact that it's personal, it tells us about sin. The Word of God tells us about a Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes these words. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, and the terrible things that he did before he came to know Christ as Savior. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, and God is able to save everyone, anyone who will come to Him. So the Word of God is redemptive in that it tells us about our sin, tells us about a Savior, and it also tells us about salvation, tells us very clearly how we can come to know Christ as Savior and know for sure that we're going to heaven when we die. Romans chapter 10, in the same book right where you are, let's turn there, Romans chapter 10. These are verses which probably many of you have memorized. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. But this tells you how you can come to know Christ. Though you may have heard it many times, I would encourage you, if you haven't trusted Christ yet, if you haven't done this yet, that you do it today. You can even do it while I'm speaking, trusting Christ, inviting Him into your life. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Very simple, very clear. Believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that He is the boss, that He is the ruler, He's the creator of this world, that He's the Savior for you. Believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and confess with your mouth. Believe that God has raised Him from the dead. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. The Word of God is not only powerful, unique, and redemptive, but it is also exalted. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Let's look there. Chapter 138, verse 2. David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 1. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It is preeminent. It's exalted. God has put His word above His name. That's awesome when you stop and think about it. God has submitted Himself to His word. What He says, He will do. That's what the purity of God's word is all about. It's powerful. It's unique. It's redemptive. And it's exalted. We're going to have to bow our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And also to His word. He has magnified His word above all His name. I hope that as a result of the message this morning, that we'll walk away with a new appreciation of this book that we hold in our hands. Some time ago, I was watching a video tape of the life of the apostles after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. And there was a picture there of the Apostle Paul preaching and Peter and men standing around listening as Paul was preaching. And the thought just struck me very forcibly. Here was a man that was preaching and he didn't have a Bible in his hands. I said, I grew up in church. I grew up with the Bible. And it's hard for me to understand how anybody could be preaching without having a Bible in his hands. But when you think about what the early church was and who they were, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't even have the Old Testament that they could carry around with them. If you wanted the Old Testament, you went to the Jewish synagogue and you listened to what was being read or was being taught from the synagogue, and that was it, except for maybe what your father or mother had taught you and taught you to memorize on your own. But that was it. They didn't have the Word of God. We are very privileged. We are very privileged to have a copy of God's mind and His thoughts and the Word of God in our hands. It's a very powerful book. Let's go to the second point of the Bible. We've talked about the first one, the book of books. It's indestructible. Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 27 to 31. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 27 to 31. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Verse 32, then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. The word of God is indestructible. You can't burn it and destroy it, because God has ways of seeing that the Word of God is reproduced again and again and again and again. You cannot destroy God's Word by burning. This is an example of how a man tried to take God's Word and burn it and destroy it. And God says, no, it's not going to happen. In fact, because you burn it, you're going to suffer as a result of that. But that's not going to change my Word at all. God's Word is indestructible. And it by another way, Hosea chapter 4. In verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Lord is speaking through Hosea to the people of Israel, and He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You cannot destroy God's word by forgetting it. It's still going to be powerful. It's still going to do what God intended for it to do. Cannot destroy God's word. It's indestructible by fire, by forgetfulness. And then Numbers chapter 23. And by the way, these are ways that people are choosing today to handle God's Word. They're trying to destroy it, get it out of their home, one way or another. Perhaps burning it. In Russia, when we've given out pieces of literature, at times we've seen people take it. And they've seen it, sad to say, same thing has happened here in the United States. People will take it and they'll rip it up and throw it on the ground. I heard an awesome story this morning about a young man in Vietnam who was in prison and during the Vietnam War. And his job was to clean out the latrines as a prisoner of war. And he saw a little piece of paper in all of the garbage that he was taking out. And he said, I wonder if that's English, because this man knew both Vietnamese and English. And he found out it was not only English, but it was part of God's Word. And he washed the piece of paper off and he read it. And his whole life was changed as a result of God's Word. Very powerful testimony of how a person's life is changed through God's Word. So, there in Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 and 20, we read these words. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Balaam is talking here. He was paid to curse God's people. And God says, you're only going to speak what I tell you to, Balaam. And Balaam told this man, this king, that of Moab, Balak, who offered him a lot of money, he said, if you just curse God's people, I'll pay you a lot of money. And Balaam says, well, let me go see and talk with the Lord about this thing. So he did. And the Lord gave him this answer. And Balaam insisted on trying to curse God's people and doing it his own way. But every time he opened his mouth, the cursing came out to be a blessing on God's people. You cannot destroy God's Word by finances. You can't pay to have God's Word distorted or destroyed. So that's the second part of the word Bible. It's a book of books. It's indestructible. And then thirdly, it's basic. It's necessary for each one of us. The Word of God is necessary for each one of us, for our body, for our soul, and for our spirit. Matthew chapter 4. We cannot live without it. If we do, we will die. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated this when he was here on earth. In the book of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, and I think Luke as well gives the account of what happened here to the Lord Jesus just at the beginning of his earthly ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But the Lord Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. People are dying physically for lack of physical bread because they don't know or they're not following the principles of God's Word. The way people get bread without following the principles of God's Word is they will steal it or they'll do anything that they can to get it for food. But if you follow the principles of God's Word, you find out that they'll be able to live and succeed. People who don't follow the principles of God's Word, even though it might seem that they're successful at the beginning, they wind up in trouble very fast and very quickly because they do not read God's Word. God's Word will save them physically. If you're having problems, difficulties with your finances or with anything in your life, God's Word has the answer to it if you just read it. He has the answer to it. And He will provide in tremendous ways for you if you will allow him to. He provides for our body. Not only does he provide for our bodies, but he provides for our soul. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. So Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." When you feel down in the dumps, when you've had a bad day, when things are looking terrible, I would encourage you to open up God's word and begin reading it. In Russia, we distribute lots of types of literature. One of the kinds of literature we distribute was a little white square Bible. Now, it was called a little Bible. It was not the whole Bible, of course, but it was just a selection of salvation verses, basically, that we gave out in Russian to the people. And people really like that because it's very small, very compact. And I think you have the same here. Some of you may have seen it. It's called a little red Bible, I think, with scripture verses in it, about an inch by inch size. We were giving those out, and lots of people enjoyed them. And one day that we were giving out this little Bible on the tram there in Russia, a lady, as I was giving this out, a lady pulls out her purse. And I thought, well, she's going to want to pay for it, because people in Russia, they are very concerned about that, very appreciative when they realize it's a prey, that when they find out it's a gift. But sometimes they want to pay you for it. So I thought maybe she wanted to pay me for it. And I was going to say, no, it's free. It's this platinum. It's podotic. It's the word for free. And she insisted. She pulled out this little white Bible, a sample of what I just gave, what I was going to give to her. And she said to me, she said, "I want you to know that somebody gave my husband one of this little booklet. And he brought it home and he read it every day. And he says when he read it, it made the difference in his day. His whole day went by a lot better. And he realized that. So he would read it the next day, and he read it the next day, and the next day. Just the day, the activities went by a whole lot better, just because he read this little booklet." And she said, "Just last week, my husband died." And she says, "I want to thank you for giving my husband this little booklet. And it means a lot to me to see the change in his life. I don't know if he ever trusted Christ as a Savior or not, but God's word was powerful enough to change the circumstances in his life just by the reading of God's word." God's word is powerful. It's basic to our bodies, basic to our souls, basic to our spirit. John chapter 6. We need God's word. We need it to be a part of our lives every day. John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus speaks these words. In verse 63, he says, "But it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." God's word is the spirit. God's word is the life. And he wants, if you're here this morning and you have not invited the Lord Jesus into your life, he's standing at your heart's door right now. And he's saying, "Can I come in?" He's knocking. And the opportunity is there right now for you to say, "Yes, please come in." Because he says, "I want to give you life. I want to give you life abundantly." So wonderful, the life that he has to offer, if you'll just invite him. He wants to give you eternal life. So wonderful that he has to give to you. So we see that the Bible is basic. It's needed for the body, for the soul, and for the spirit. And then Bible. It's a book of books. It's indestructible. It's basic to the body, soul, and spirit. And then it is life-changing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. All of these are verses you probably have memorized, some of you. Some of you might be the first time you've seen these. But they're so important, it doesn't hurt to read them again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The word of God changes people's lives. And a better translation may be there in verse 17, "All things are in the process of becoming new." Not only have become new, but also in the process of becoming new. And I would encourage you, as you read God's word from day to day, you will see new things in God's word. That's what this newness is talking about. He is revealing himself more and more and more to you. And he has so much that he wants to share with us. He has given himself. God has given himself to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given everything to us because he wants to share himself with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. But he cannot because of sin. And that sin barrier must be removed. And so he's even provided a way of salvation for that person, for that to happen. And that's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's life-changing. It changes a person from being a sinner to a saint, or a sinner saved by grace. It changes from a person from being a saint to that of being like the Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's just turn back a couple of pages. This is phenomenal. If you ever get a hold of the truth of this, I believe that your life will be changed forever as a believer, as it was mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. What's he talking about, looking into a glass, the glory of the Lord? As you were reading it, you were looking into the glass. The glass is the Word of God, the mirror, because God reflects back to you himself. He is standing, as it were, behind you. And he's looking into the mirror, and as you read God's word in this mirror here, you see him. And he changes you. As you're looking into God's word, as you're reading it, he is changing you. It's a process that's going on. And he's changing you to what? He's changing you to become like himself, like the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look into his word, it changes you. It's a living book. And then, last of all, it's an eternal book. It's the book of books. It's an indestructible book. It's a basic book. It's a life-changing book, and it's an eternal book. Three times in the Gospels, these words are recorded. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. We won't look them up, but it's also Mark chapter 13 verse 31 and Luke chapter 21 verse 33. The Lord Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." This is an eternal book. It's going to last forever and ever and ever. You know, one of the things I believe is going to happen when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, he's going to say, "Okay, take your Bibles. We're going to look for the same word in all these verses." Well, he might not say that, but he's going to say, "Look right here." And our hearts are going to burn. "Well, how come I never saw that before?" It's because our eyes were clouded. Our eyes were blinded to those things. And we're going to see more and more things that are just beautiful about the Lord Jesus and about his place in heaven for us. It is an eternal book. It's a fantastic book. Our challenge this morning, I would just like to leave you with these verses. Brother Mark Hartley prayed them in his prayer this morning when he was opening up in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only," verse 22, "deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way." This is the key. This is the key to the whole passage here, I believe, is found in this verse. He looks and he goes his way. In a few minutes, we're all going to be going our way. Our own way. And it's up to us what we're going to do with what we've heard this morning. Now, this is talking about a man who is a hearer of the word and not a doer. Let's go on. "And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." The Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, and he's telling you what kind of a person you are and with the changes that need to be made in your life, perhaps in relation to God's word. I hope that's what it is. Or perhaps in your relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, is whether he's going to be your Savior or not. It is so easy for you to leave God's word from looking into it from this place and go and forget, because there are many other things that need to be taken care of today and the rest of